Now it's 6:17 on this Monday morning with the Musers. Time for the Observation Deck and Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Big night on Friday night. And Giorgio, I didn't see you on Friday night, and I was expecting to.
Yeah, I didn't make it.
Of course, at this time, on our very last show on Friday, you heard the interview that we did with Sean Cassidy, who was performing that night. And I went out to the show, and I took my sister with me because my sister was one of two people that listened to Sean Cassidy constantly with me when we were little bitty kids. And we got into him because our cousin, she was big into Sean Cassidy, and we thought our cousin was real cool. So then we got to listening to him and then got to be fans of his. And then, so I figured, I got to take my sister out there. So we went to the Granada, got the picture in front of the marquee with Sean's name back behind us, and had to take a picture of another group of ladies who were out there. How could you take our picture too? And
all of a sudden you became on-site.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden I was on-site photographer. But, George, you were wondering what the percentage of people inside the audience were going to be male versus female.
I'm going to say 85% female, and the 15% that were dudes outside of you were husbands that were, or boyfriends that were dragged down there.
Dragged to the show. I'd say you're about right. That's about the right percentage. Although I noticed that a lot of the guys seemed to know the songs,
too.
They
were into it?
Yeah. And sold out, energetic crowd, kind of a raucous crowd, too. I think they had a few pops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so people were cutting loose a little bit. And everyone had a great time. I cannot get over how much he can sing exactly. He doesn't pitch anything down. I think there was one song that was pitched down to E-flat. They were tuned down to E-flat. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what key the song was in, but yeah, sang them all at 440 tuning and sounded fantastic. And he's 68, I think.
Wow.
Man, I think it's great that performers who may have been big, whatever, 20, 30, or in this case, 50 years ago, still perform. People still enjoy it. At a time of my choosing, have you guys seen the Paul Anka documentary on HBO?
No.
Mm-mm.
It's amazing. He's in his 90s, I think, now, and still performing, and I think it's great.
Have you seen what's his name, Frankie Valli?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
that's a little different now, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a little different, but at the same time, people
so Frankie
are going,
Valli is in his 90s, I think, and he comes out there and he's super, super skinny. I mean, this guy looks really emaciated, and he comes out there and he looks, we'll do this, and then all of a sudden he starts singing "Oh What a Night." And he sounds exactly like he did way back then, and it's very clear that he doesn't even mouth the words properly, but it's coming out perfectly through the speakers.
I bet a lot of people that are there don't care. They're just there. That's their guy. They love that song, and they're having a good. They're not out there going, "No, he's clearly faking that."
Well, Sean was not.
That keyboard would not sound.
I can assure you, he was actually playing and singing live. And he was playing bass the whole time. He played bass the whole show for all the songs.
Really?
Except for the songs he would switch over to
some acoustic
piano, and there would be no bass player. But yeah, last time I saw him, he was playing acoustic. Hmm. This time he was playing bass. But it was great, and we sat with Scott Strong, our buddy who runs the Granada, and he's the one who set us up for this, and got me tickets and everything. And so we sat next to him, and before the show, he goes, "Here, hold out your wrist," and he put these blue wristbands on us. And he said, "Now, after the show, just wait around when everyone leaves, and there'll be just a few of you guys with blue wristbands, and then they'll come and get you, and they'll lead you backstage."
No way.
Yes way.
Wow.
And so we go back there, and you know how tiny.
There's not much room back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Granada has a green room problem, and always has, because it's built in the 20s, I think, and doesn't have much room back there. But yeah, they took us back there, and we sat in that little bit of green room talking to Sean. There's probably about five or six of us.
Wow.
And hanging out with Sean Cassidy.
That must have been huge for your sister.
Getting our pictures. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She got a picture with him and all that. And I even brought the album before I panicked and ran down there to the Granada. I went through and I thought, I think I know what closet these albums are in. And I panicked, rifled through them, and found all of our original Sean Cassidy albums and took them down there, including the one that is his first album from 1977, when it was released in the U.S., and it had my cousin's name that she had written her name in that childish scrawl across the front of it. And I was going to have Sean holding that and then send my cousin that picture of him holding that album that we used to just stare at all the lyrics and look at and everything. We were listening to it when we were tiny. But then I got too lazy to go out to my car to go get it. I just left it in the car.
So how did you find him talking to him?
He's great. He's an interesting mix because he's an incredibly nice guy and seems level-headed, down to earth, and all of that. But he knows how to play Sean Cassidy to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so George, you would have watched the show and you would have thought it was kind of cheesy, you know, because he is big superstar.
You got to play to your audience.
Bows to the crowd after each song and everything, and thankfulness and things that you love it when Garth Brooks does.
That's you that has the big problem with that.
But he was great. He was so nice. And I mentioned to him when we started posing for the picture, I said, hey, I want to thank you for the interview that you did with me. I talked to you yesterday because we had to record it a day early. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, man, that was you. Oh, man, it was a great interview. You had really good questions or something.
Wow.
It's like,
he's lying here because I remember the questions I asked.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe y'all have a special bond now.
No, we don't have a special bond. But, and then, you know, Granada has that parking lot right back behind it. Right, and they mm-hmm. open that loading door for guys to load out and everything.
Did he park his Mazda right by the...
Okay, you can go to hell. And they had, like, those metal fence, you know, temporary fence barriers that are back there mm-hmm. that they put about 15 feet away from the loading door and everything. Completely lined with people waiting out there with all their merch and old wow. stuff waiting for him to sign it. It's just shocking to me that here this is, half a century later?
Yeah, still real to people.
And it is still real to people, and he still pulls and sells out these crowds. You know, and part of it, I think, is because he did not tour from 1980 until 2020 when he first started doing some live shows again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was forced to get back at it.
Yeah, because his daughter took up an equestrian habit.
Had to buy too many horses.
And he has seven kids.
This is pretty huge because you've been talking about Sean Cassidy on this show for 30
forever,
years.
Yeah, forever.
I thought about making that point. You know, I said, I know this has to be weird, but it's going to seem very strange to you when I tell you that we are a sports radio show that you come up on at least once every couple months.
Yeah.
I figure you would not predict that.
Right.
And I wouldn't tell him that it's mainly because one of the guys is making fun of me for liking you, but...
On Monday, he'll probably say that you parked your Mazda out back.
That's the only negative thing, and that was just a joke. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for all Sean Cassidy fans.
And I don't know what's... I don't think these were his buses, but there were a couple of large buses out back.
Wow, he had a bus?
But they, I don't know, they looked a little older or something. I don't know whether those are always back there in back of the Granada or what.
Yeah, there's two that I think that are always back there.
Okay,
I don't know
yeah.
who they belong to. But
yeah. yeah, and then, but parked right beside these buses was a hearse.
Hmm. Just in case.
And I don't know if that's always there either. But when I was leaving the Sean Cassidy show and pulling out of that parking lot, I did think it was a little bit funny that the hearse was turned on and the lights were on and it had been backed into the spot so it was ready to go. And I was like, please tell me this is not his ride.
Be a funny bit.
I think all concerts for aging rock stars, they have one of those parked outside just in case.
Just ride away in a hearse.
When the Stones perform or the Who.
One way or the other, you ride away in a hearse. Oh, gosh. It was great.
Well, all that's right. great. And that's a really good niche for the Granada.
Oh, yeah.
You know, concerts like that.
You know what show I missed there that I wished I'd gone to see? Another one that you bag on, George.
Oh, Rick Springfield?
No.
That's another one.
No. Oh. But Tom Jones played there several years ago,
and
I wanted to go see him. And I think he has a great voice, and you always rag on him.
Oh, I guess his voice is fine. His songs just,
you know, I'm sure he appreciates
me right
you
the nads
reviewing his career that way.
The Delilah
I guess
song
his voice is fine.
Yeah, I don't make fun of his voice as much as his songs, like Delilah. That just runs a jackhammer onto my testicles.
See if you can find that Tyler Tom Jones rips. Delilah little audio support there. But yeah, I thought Delilah's a great song. What's New Pussycat's a great song. I get the feeling like you didn't agree with that opinion I just issued.
That's another beatdown.
You just laughed at the song.
I'm sorry.
For those just joining us, we're talking about Sean Cassidy, and here's Tom Jones.
I saw the flickering shadows of love on her blind.
Great voice.
She was my woman.
Hold on a second.
As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind.
That's where the nut kick happens.
And they say that women still throw their depends up on stage
sure
for Tom Jones.
Yeah, they've always loved him.
So
on his Wikipedia page, Jones has stated that he had had sex with up to 250 groupies a year at the peak of his fame.
Okay. Well, at least it didn't go 10,000 like Wilt.
I think Wilt's was a lifetime
number.
Total.
Oh.
At least Tom Jones has a realistic figure.
Right.
Wilt's was how many? It was like
10,000 for his life
career.
So what does that average out to for?
He does not.
Because he came out with that claim, I swear, 25 years ago.
Who? Wilt?
Wilt.
That's about when he died.
That's about when he died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I meant that.
Let's see. He died in 99. Yeah, 25 years ago.
He did?
46.
Yeah. I'm just now finding out about this. I've been trying to book him for the past few years.
He was 63.
Never get return phone calls.
So only let's say 63. He probably started having sex when he was about 30, right?
Nope.
Nope, but he knows him.
Okay, y'all tell that story on here.
We can't.
Was that a person that I know?
No.
Did it happen to?
No, it's a person I knew, and I told you about it, and you made me retell the story every day.
And it was somebody from college or
yeah,
before?
It was a coach's son.
All right. And what were the names of the people?
Can't say that.
And he goes to the doctor. And
no, he was at practice, and one of the support crew asked him, hey, does your dad know you're drinking?
Because he was drinking alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They found out that he had some alcohol the night before, and he's, nope. But he knows I'm.
And he used a word that begins with F and indicates an act of love
that rhymes
between
with,
two people.
Kind of rhymes with drinking. No, he knows I'm blanking. It was a very funny answer.
Rhymes with duck. If
yes, we
if,
got it.
If there was a duck that was a king
right.
somewhere.
Right.
So anyway. So great.
Tell
time.
Sean Cassidy that story next
time.
I
tried to
him.
Tell Sean Cassidy that story. He didn't quite follow it.
The
it was the coach's son that George knew. Who's George? It's just it doesn't matter for the story. It's just that that's
and
where
was,
I got
and
it from.
He was drinking?
Anyway, I know I only have a few seconds here, Sean, so I'm trying to tell you this real quick.
Led with that story to Sean Cassidy.
In Wilt Chamberlain's book, he claimed to have had sex with 20,000 women.
Oh, 20,000. I said 10. Yeah, 20,000.
See.
Okay. What a made up number.
He's full of lies. And I think Gene Simmons has only claimed like 3,000 women.
Wilt Chamberlain documented his love life using a day timer. Is that a day planner?
Yeah.
Every time Chamberlain had sex with a different woman, he put a check in his day timer.
Okay, like that's real.
Over a 10-day period, there were 23 checks in the book, a rate of 2.3 women per day. Chamberlain halved that number to be conservative and to correct for degrees of variation. He really thought this out. He then multiplied that number by the number of days he had been alive and subtracted 15 years. I guess that's when he started. giving him the 20,000 number.
So dumb.
You got to check that math.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. You know, Gene Simmons, he took Polaroids of all the women.
Okay, how stalkery is that?
That's creepy.
Well, they knew they were being photographed. It's like not in the act. They would take them
before
so he
taken.
Could keep the souvenir, remember who they what they looked like.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah,
and I think really that creepy. His wife, Shannon, wanted him to throw out those books of Polaroids.
Whoa.
And he refused to.
God. He's creepy. He needed to acknowledge that.
Who, Gene Simmons?
Your boy, Gene Simmons.
He's not my boy, but yes, he is creepy. Yeah, I think he was mad. Remember I told you the story? She was flirting with me in front of him.
Hey, now.
And just to try, I don't think she's really interested in me. She was just trying to get
just
him.
Just to wind him up?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's great, though. She was a soft porn queen back in the day.
Yeah, just...
Loved her.
You don't need to emphasize
that.
We
covered
right
a lot
now.
Of ground here in the ODEC.
Yeah, I was trying to explain that to Sean Cassidy, too. And you see, Shannon Tweed, she was a soft porn queen. I know, I'm about to leave. I'm just talking with Sean.
Well, we're very happy for you.
Yes.
Your Sean Cassidy experience.
Yeah, that's great.